you're probably gonna wanna stand for this one. Come on. Let's get some hands clapping. Let's get some feet stomping. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet
by and by,
we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet
by and by,
we shall meet on that beautiful shore. There we go. 'Cause we shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious song of the blessed, and the Spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet
by and by,
we shall meet on that beautiful shore. On that beautiful shore. Oh, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, oh, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from everlasting arms. Sing it, come on. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. And he walks with me, and he talks with me. Tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Lord, thank you that we can walk with you, we can talk with you, that as we meet with you, you remind us that we belong to you. So Lord, have your way in everything that is said and sung and done today. Meet with your people today, those here in the room, those joining us online. Lord, you are everywhere, and your love is endless. Let your endless love and your boundless grace meet us, unite us, fill us, and send us, we pray together in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So please have a seat for a moment. My name's Andrew, and we are one church meeting in multiple locations, so some of us here in the building, and thank you so much for joining us. It's just super fun to see that number slowly but surely rising, and we're able to meet safely and distanced and well. We can do this, and just clap to those in the room. Thank you. Being here, and we can also join together online, so watching our online, our e-family, so whether you're on Facebook or on your YouTube, or many of us are joining on church online as well, just thanks for doing that. But let's greet one another. So just some greetings from around, just from around the valley and around the world. All right, there we go. Now my dad, signing from Penticton, and Kelly, and there we go, and Caleb. But it's just so fun. We're able to be one church family. Now, part of our heart in this whole thing is just that we find ways to stay connected. You know, even in with all the things, all the forces, and whether that's medical or, you know, cultural, all the things that keep us divided, that we can join together as a family of faith. And one of the core ministries of our church is to have what we call connection groups, places where you can have a posse, where you got some people that you are meeting with. We've got a wide number of options for that. You can find out all those things at columbiagrove.org. You look for the box that says connection groups. Or if you're in the building, you can see all our current options. There's a wall in the foyer that's just loaded with options. And we'd love for you to find a place to connect if you are not yet connected somewhere. And I really also need to say thank you so much for being a generous church. This is it's a difficult time. It's a difficult time for all nonprofits. But thanks to your faithful giving, I mean, we're doing okay. But just thank you for that. And if Columbia Grove is your church home, whether it's your e-home right now or your in-person home right now, invite you to, again, go to columbiagrove.org, click on the Give tab, and be a part of that part of what it means to be a church family together. Every little bit really honestly does make a difference. So thank you for that. Now I need to invite up a very special guest. His name is Brent Capel, and he'll be at the microphone next to the communion table. This is me giving him instruction while he's making his journey up here. But Brent is the chair of our leadership team. And so he's here to give us just some insights into some of the things that are going on in the life of the church. Maybe for some of us a little bit behind the scenes. So thanks Brent for being willing to share today.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. It's so great to see everyone here in person and everyone at home. Thank you for being here. We know that you can be anywhere on a Sunday, and we're just really grateful that you're joining us here in person or online at Columbia Grove. I just want to echo something that Andrew said, that we're just so grateful for God's blessing in this church and the giving that you all are doing, especially in these times that we know are still really trying. A lot of folks are still struggling, and because of your giving, we're able to help a lot of folks, not only here in our church home, but in the community. So thank you for that. We just really appreciate it. A couple of things that are coming up in regards to our leadership team and some of the church business. One of the things we would like is parents of kids here in the church. We're going to be going through a process of looking for a new children's ministry leader. And so we want you families to be involved in that. We want to hear your input. So please get a hold of me or any of the other leadership team members or Paul or Andrew, and we would like to invite you to be a part of putting that ministry together. So we really appreciate that. The next thing is in May. It seems like a little ways away, but in May we will be having a membership meeting where we will be adopting some new bylaws. Those bylaws are on our website, and I did send out an email to those that we had an email that are members. So take a look at those. Those changes are really important for how we structure our staffing and our ministries going forward. So please take a look at those. We've put a lot of time and effort into them, so we're excited about the direction and the vision that we're going to have going forward. So please take a look, and then in May, be looking for an invite for the membership meeting. On that same note, if you're not a member, we invite you to become a member. We have monthly membership meetings. And what does a member mean? Well, you get to vote in our yearly membership meeting on the bylaws, and then also folks like me. You get to say, yes, we want someone like Brant or any of the other leadership team members leading the church. And it just gives you an opportunity to give input on the direction that this church is going, how we serve here in the building and out in our community. It's a great opportunity for your voice to be heard, and so we really invite you to be doing that. And with that, just thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
We appreciate you. Brant is just a fabulous up-and-coming leader. But we do have a leadership transition today. As many of you know Gayla Tofton. And so this is actually her final week for us on staff. She's going to be focusing, and Gayla, just come on up. She's going to be focusing on her Master's of Divinity degree. Columbia Grove is some of where Gayla got her sense of call to ministry. She's served in a variety of different areas. Let's just put up a few of those pictures up there. So Gayla has been widely involved in the community with organizations like the Farmers Market, and widely involved in the church with women's ministry and kids ministry and seniors ministry and preaching and just about everything else. So we're just so incredibly grateful for her. So today we just wanted to honor her as she's making some of that transition into a fuller focus on her education. So church, would you take a moment and we just express your appreciation. Let's there we go. And if there are any online greetings, can we put some of those up on the social feed as well? All right. So we're just so grateful for you, Gayla, and we just pray God's blessings on you as you go forward. And so there's a collection of cards in the back, and there's a love offering available. So whether that's in the baskets that you can see in the foyer, or if you want to give online, we just want to. I just want to let you know how much we appreciate you. And then Brantigan is going to come and actually lead in a time of prayer. So let's give her one more hand.
Well, Gayla, this is a prayer for you. Come on back up here. Well, if you'll join me in a moment of prayer, thank you. Dear Lord, we are just so thankful for Gayla's heart of service and her passion of ministry. Here at Columbia Grove and abroad. We're just so grateful for her service to our children and to our seniors in this valley. We thank you for that. We, Lord, ask you to give her determination and guidance going forward in her pursuit for her master's in divinity. And we continue help you to continue to work through her in moving your mission forward, wherever that might be. We bless her and her family today and forever, Lord. We thank you so much. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Gayla.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's continue in worship. And if you're in the building, I invite you to stand. So we just sing a song that's all about what it means to experience God's love, to stand in his love. And if you're online, you can stand. And you can stand in your living room. You can sing to your dog. You can make your neighbors wonder, what's going on in your house. That'd be a great conversation starter. But I would urge you to maybe fill in the blank with this phrase, Jesus, I give you mine. Because this is a song about all giving Jesus our fears. But Jesus wants more than just your fears. He also wants your shame. He also wants your past. He also wants your victory. He also wants your affection. And so just invite you to interact with some of that as we sing together. Darkness tries to roll over my bones, but sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. With brokenness and pain, that's all I know. I won't be shaken, I won't be shaken, yeah, hey, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. I am not a captive to the lies, not anymore. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. I won't be shaken, I won't be shaken, yeah. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
resurrection power that can save. Power in your name. Power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance, and I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance, when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance, when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance, when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance, when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance, when I stand in your love. Standing in your love.
Standing in your love.
Standing in your love. Standing in your love.
Oh Lord, we thank you that when we stand in your love, that your perfect love casts out fear. And so, Lord, we just give you everything. We give you everything. All those fears, all the shame, all the past, all the future, all our affection, all our worship. Lord, you are our hope, you are our peace. So Lord, as we continue in prayer, Lord, thank you that we can cast every care on you, knowing that our Father in heaven is good and he loves his children. We can lean on you. We can lean on you. Those everlasting arms that carry us each day. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. In congregation, I invite you to have a seat, and thank you, Pastor Gala, for leading us in congregational prayer. And so, yeah, let's just bow our hearts before the Lord and give him our focus.
Good morning. For the last 3 days, I have been in this moment, waking up every morning, praying this prayer. I love you all so much. And I pray that God blesses you immensely. I pray that this church grows and it becomes a light in the community that shines so bright that we have to add on because we've run out of room. But I just want you to know your love so much. And there's nothing that you can't overcome together. All right, this morning I'm going to read from Hebrews 13, verse 18, to begin our prayer. So bow with me. The writer of Hebrews said, "You have not come to a mountain that can't be touched, and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what it was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death." The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the Spirit of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The word once more indicates the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. O Heavenly Father, we come to your presence this morning. We gather in this space because we know that you are a mountain of peace, of love, of promise, that you call us your children, and that you gave us your Son so that we may come into your presence boldly. And Father, as we sit on this hill, we pray that you will come in a new way into our lives. That your grace will flow through us and out into the world as you meant it to do. And Father, we pray for our community. There's so many people coming in, moving here, Father. Give us new vision. Give us hands that reach out to them so that they will know how much you love them. And help us be hospitable and bring them in. And Father, we thank you that you give us opportunities to make the world a better place, that we can make it holy when we reach out, when we become your disciples, and we strive to do your will here on earth. Help us grasp hold of that presence, grasp hold to all that you've given us. We pray for those who are affected by COVID, sickness. Father, heal them. May we have a healing touch as Jesus had. We pray, Father, for Penny as she continues to recover from her aneurysm. Oh, Father, overcome those deficiencies that are now there. And for Patty Foster, give her strength every day as she recovers. And for families who've lost loved ones, Dylan Cooper, Keith Miller's sister Elaine, and for Lila Mills, Father, thank you for their race that was run. I thank you that you have given them life, and we thank you for their families. Please bless them with rest and peace, and may they continue to remember them with sweet memories. And Father, we pray for Keith Miller's sister Elaine as she faces cancer. Father, it's an evil beast, and we pray that the doctors will have wisdom and that they will know how to help her and to cure her so that she can continue to live. Because you're a God of life. And for Nancy Jeffries, so she's recovering from a stroke. Father, again, give her life. give her movement of body. May she synchronize and be able to live her life to the fullest. And for surgery for Colin Baumgartner, Father, we pray this surgeon's hands will be precise and that he will have a full recovery. For Michelle Salgado, oh Father, heal her. She's home now, and we thank you that she is on the way to mending. But Father, mend her so that this goes away completely. Give her that miraculous healing so that she can praise you. And now a moment for you to offer your own prayers. Again, Father, thank you. You have brought us into Mount Zion, this beautiful place where people are fed, people are healed, and they are loved. And we pray, Father, that you will fill us to the full till it spills over and the world knows that you reign. These things we pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And the people said, Amen.
It's hard to imagine a battle any more epic. We read about it in 1 Kings chapter 18. See, the land of Israel had been without rain for years. This was God trying to get their attention. Because see, the people had, they become corrupted in their faith. The people of Yahweh were no longer exclusively worshiping him, but they were turning to the Canaanite gods, to the Baals and to the Asherahs, trying to hedge their bets. You know, sure we believe in God, but you know, maybe this God will help too. And plus, you know, the Canaanite worship. I mean, is there anything more entertaining? I mean, they know the first rule of entertainment, which is give the people what they want. The tame services in the Canaanite temples are PG-13, and you don't even want to know what happens on the good days. And so Elijah, the prophet of Israel, challenged the prophets of Baal and prophets of Asherah to a contest, if you will. One man against 850. They gathered on Mount Carmel, and along with many of the Israelites, presumably a crowd of thousands. And so Elijah turns to them and says, How long, Israelites? How long, Israel, will you waver between two opinions? If God is God, follow him. If Baal is God, you follow him. Of course, the people were silent. They didn't like being lectured to any more than we do. Then he proposed the contest. There's 450 prophets of Baal. There's one of me. How about you get a bull, you lay out the wood, you prepare it for sacrifice, you make the barbecue spread. I will do the very same thing. And the God who answers with fire, that God is God. And of course the people said, yeah, that sounds great. That's a wonderful contest. And so Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, there's 450 of you. Why don't you go first? So they took the bull, they prepared it, they laid it out on the wood, and they started to do what they do. And they called out to Baal and continued to call out to Baal, and nothing happened. Minutes passed, hours passed, and Elijah, he was a little spunky. So he kind of egged them on a little bit. Hey, maybe you should pray louder. Maybe your God is on vacation. you know, maybe a cell service is bad. He didn't actually say that. But, you know, you have to change location a little bit. You know, maybe he's on the John. But you just do whatever you need to do. Because amp it up, people. Amp it up. I'm sure your God, he'll answer. And so they did. They amped it up. And they started dancing. They started cutting themselves all the way through noon into mid-afternoon. And then as the time came for the evening sacrifice, as the sun began to set, Elijah had 12 big stones brought in, one for each of the tribes of Israel, laid out the wood, laid the bull on the altar, and then had them pour water over the bull and over the altar, and then do it again, and then a third time, do it again. And as the sun is setting, and after all of the activities and the frenzy of the prophets of Baal, Elijah prays this prayer. We can read about it in verse 37. Answer me, Lord. Answer me, so that these people will know that you are God and you are turning their hearts back again. And with that, the sky opened up and fire fell from heaven and boom! And it sucked up the bull and everything. And the people, they got all excited. The Lord is God. The Lord is God. And so Elijah took advantage of the moment and he pointed to the prophets of Baal and said, you go get them. And they did. And they go chased after them. And it was horrible. And then Elijah made his way up to the top of Mount Carmel. And he bowed down low to the ground. And he began to pray. He told his servant, go tell King Ahab that the drought is about to end. He prays, and he prays. And eventually, out over the ocean, you could see this small cloud forming. And it got larger and larger and closer. And closer. And then for the first time in years, it began to rain. God who answers with fire, God who answers with the rain. And as the rain is falling, Elijah is running to what at that point to the royal city Jezreel, knowing that how could this kind of tangible evidence, this tangible evidence of a God who can answer with fire, a God who can stop the drought, a God with this kind of power, with this kind of reality, of course, this must change the hearts of the leaders. You would think. And that's actually where our story begins in the passage that we're going to look at today. We're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 19. Because Elijah is going to be learning a lesson in the wilderness time that follows this moment. He's going to be dealing with something that ultimately all of us deal with. From time to time. And I believe, actually, that in this past year and in the season that we're in, we are dealing with this more, much, much, much more than normal. One of the things I love about the Bible is that, you know, we have all these great stories and these epic, you know, characters like Elijah. But it's important to remember that there really is only one true hero in the Bible, and that's Jesus. There's really only one guy that totally, completely gets it right. And then we kill him. But all these other characters, all these other people, I mean, they did amazing things for God, and God used them in beautiful, incredible, powerful, brave. I mean, can you imagine standing up to a crowd of thousands and 450 to one? Oh my gosh, incredible. And yet it's important to remember that Elijah, he was as human as you and me. He deals with some of the same stuff that you and I deal with. He doesn't always see the whole picture. And he doesn't always get everything right, even though he is a prophet of God. And God has given him tremendous insight. And that's why the story of what happens next and how God meets him in the wilderness is so valuable and so important. Now, I hope we can talk about this a little bit more. Just to let you know, there's a Facebook group. So if you're online and you want to be part of the conversation, just join that. And there's actually a Bible study, online Bible study, happening 6:30 tonight if you want to take a deeper look at that. But we're going to be taking a much closer look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 19, and looking at how God interacts with Elijah in a season of his life and in an emotional space that for all of us on some level or another, it's probably going to feel kind of familiar. So let's go from there. Chapter 19, verse 1. Now Ahab, that's the king, told Jezebel, that's the queen who was actually kind of running everything, everything that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods, plural, deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. Verse 3, and Elijah was afraid, or the Hebrew word there actually means he saw. He saw. That's why he was afraid. You know, he saw after all of these efforts, after fire fell from the sky, after clouds finally gave water, after years and years and years, he saw that all of those things, all of those evidences, all of that bravery doesn't appear to actually shift the politics of the land. You ever gotten discouraged by politics? Ever? Maybe, I guess I'm the only one. I don't think I am. But he saw, he was afraid. He realized that the Israelites, they can be just like the Egyptians. They can be just like us. So hard-hearted that even in the face of undeniable evidence, can still forsake the Lord. So he was afraid. He was afraid, and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom tree. He sat down under it, and he prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and he fell asleep. All at once, or at least all at once to Elijah, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head were some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and he drank, and he lay down again. And here in this moment, Elijah is totally spent. You ever felt like that? I have. I mean, to the point where in Elijah's case, he was even despairing for his life. And maybe you've been there. You've wondered whether your life would even make a difference or anything. If this is what life is like, I don't know if I even want it. And as it turns out, there's something that was right at the core of Elijah's emptiness and of Elijah's despair that was actually a lie. There is something that Elijah believed that was not true. That's why he was so tired. Not just his body was tired, because we all have days where our bodies get tired, but I mean his soul was tired because of this reason. And God is going to meet him here in the wilderness. In fact, I think God brought him and allowed him to come into the wilderness so he could meet Elijah in a very particular way to tell Elijah what he needed to hear. But it's also important to note that Elijah was not ready for this yet. And note how God meets him in his physical need before he meets him in his intellectual need. You know, sometimes what you really need is lunch. You need lunch more than a lecture. And Elijah's loving Heavenly Father, just like yours and mine, he knows that sometimes it's not the right time to bring those words of correction. They'll come. They'll come soon enough. It's probably a good lesson for us to learn, too, when we find ourselves knowing we need to have a hard conversation with others. Not every time is always the right time. Sometimes you need to wait. Sometimes you need to make certain that their physical needs are tended to before you start making the corrections that need to be made. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and he drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, or that's probably the same as Mount Sinai, the same place where the Ten Commandments were given, the mountain of God. And then he went into a cave and he spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites, they've rejected your covenant. They've broken down your altars. They put your prophets to the death with the sword. I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." See, now we're getting down to it. This is what Elijah actually believes. He really believes he's the only one. He's the only one. He's the only one. That's why his soul is so tired. That's why it's not just that he's physically exhausted. He is emotionally exhausted. He feels absolutely isolated. And he feels absolutely alone. And that's why our topic today is on isolation. Because you've been there. And maybe you're there right now. And I dare say this past year is a year where that emotional place, that place of feeling isolated, ironically, is something that many, many, many people, we're all in it together, feeling alone. How strange is that? But now we're really getting to it. This is what's really going on in him. Verse 11, so the Lord said to Elijah, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire." Hey, we just saw God work through fire. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he put his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then that voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites, they've rejected your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." That's the core of it. That's the core of why he felt what he felt, why he was so discouraged. Elijah felt completely alone. Thinking about this passage quite a bit, now, there's a really deeply spiritual reason why Elijah felt so totally isolated and alone. Do you know what that was? He couldn't see the other people. Now, a whole bunch of that was the physical. Yes, there were millions of Israelites that were living a very compromised faith. And God is about to give him the full picture. He doesn't have it yet. But unbeknownst to Elijah, there's plenty of others that had stayed true to God. He just couldn't see them. You know, the church will always be present, just sometimes it goes underground. Sometimes it goes invisible. Sometimes there are people just like Elijah who go into hiding in order to stay faithful. But it's not just the physical. I mean, that's true. We'll see that. We've seen that. It's hard when we can't see other people. We feel isolated. Isn't that true? So that's part of his problem. He couldn't see them. And he didn't have Zoom. Couldn't see them. I imagine there are people that you are just longing to see. There's people on the other side of this screen right now that I just would long to see in person. If you didn't have some of the electronics that we have in this past year, this would have been, can you imagine what a lonely year it would have been? But it wasn't just the physical that Elijah couldn't see. There was also something going on emotionally for him. Because I don't know if you picked this part up in the story already, even in the pieces that we'd already read. He had a servant that had been faithful to him. But Elijah was in enough of a dark place that he couldn't see that either. See, Elijah kind of embodies, I guess, this maybe this is why we like him so much as Americans. He just embodies like rugged individualism. And God uses rugged individualists. It takes somebody with that kind of, to be able to stand up against thousands and take on 450 prophets at once. That's like, woo! But there are limits. There are limits to the rugged individual. Because there are limits to your own strength. And Elijah had been living the prophetic life of the rugged individual that even the people who were beside him, like his servant who we don't even in this moment know his name, who was right there with him and he couldn't see him. He just finished being housed by a widow and her son, and they were faithful to the Lord throughout the entire drought. They don't come to mind in this moment for him because Elijah, the rugged individual, is so discouraged and he's so alone and he's so isolated that he just couldn't see it. And it's there, in that cave, that voice, that whisper, that God speaks into Elijah's life. See, now's the time. After Elijah's got something to eat, after he's had a chance to rest, after the Lord has seen fit for him to get away from all the other stuff long enough that he really can hear the whisper voice of God. That now he gets to say, God gets to actually help him to see what's really going on. Verse 15, the Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah to succeed you. To succeed you as prophet. So new kings, but Elijah, you're going to have a successor. Now Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet, I reserve how many? Read it. I know it's in yellow. Online, you can read it better than the canon in the room. 7,000. I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. And so Elijah went from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. There was something very important that Elijah couldn't see. He couldn't see the 7,000. And in his despair, he couldn't even see his legacy. He couldn't see his successor. So today I want us to focus on something, and I'm going to put this little phrase up on the screen, or actually Rick's going to put this phrase up on the screen because he's super cool. That when you first see it, you're going to go, duh. But I want to talk about it because it's actually sometimes the most basic things that cause us the biggest problems. Here's the big statement, and you just feel free at home. You can even, is there a duh emoji? Because if there is, it's coming my way. Here we go. Here's the phrase. We need connection with God and connection with people. Say it, congregation. Duh.
Duh.
Yeah, we do. Online. Duh, we need it. We need it. That's core. That's part of who we are. We know it. We know it. We know it. We know it. But here's some pieces that we may not have often thought about. Is that for true community, it actually goes in that order. If we're talking about Christian community. That my time connecting with God, especially in times of crisis, it's my time, it's your time of connecting with God that empowers and enables you to truly connect with other people. Because here's what sometimes happens when we only focus on our connections with other people. And don't worry, we're going to talk about all our needs for that. But when we put our dependency on other people first without seeking the Lord, without embracing those times of solitude, because solitude is entirely different than isolation. Isolation is when you're just alone and feeling alone, but solitude is when you're alone with the Lord. That as we connect with God, just like in this story, now it may not be as dramatic for us, it may not involve earthquakes and fire, but it often involves a whisper. God will remind you through his Spirit, through his Word, God will remind you of who you are and that you belong to him. And if you're a person that has you're in the Word on a daily basis, I mean, it may not always be fireworks, it may not always be, wow, what a moving experience, but there is a strength that we find in those places of prayer that enables us to find the peace that we were looking for. A measure of gratitude and even joy that on our own we can't find. And that enables us to actually connect with the people around us better. Because what sometimes happens, and you've seen it, you've experienced it, maybe you're feeling this right now. Sometimes we are just so empty. We are just feeling so lost that we're just like, I just need somebody to fill me up. I need somebody to encourage me. I just need somebody, please pour into me. And it's valid. Those feelings are valid. Oh my gosh, they're so valid. But do you realize that everybody else around you is feeling exactly the same thing? And they're waiting for somebody to go first. It's one of the reasons why we're so lonely, or maybe you're so lonely right now. You're waiting for somebody to call you. Have you called anyone? You're waiting for that encouraging text. Have you texted anyone? And I don't say this to make you feel guilty, but I do say this to tell you where the joy source comes from. I'm going to tell you where to find that peace and that strength, because it first comes. It's not the only place it comes from, but it first comes from that time with the Lord. In times of crisis, and we are in a crisis, this is a hard season. Look at me, congregation. This is a hard season. And so your time in the Word, your time in prayer, even if it's inconsistent, even if it's faulting, even if you're like, I'm just stumbling through this, but this is spiritual and emotional survival. Jesus refers to the Word of God as like bread. This is like food for your soul. So we connect with God so that we can better connect with other people. So we have something to give. Because I'm telling you, friends, the people around you are also, this is hard for everyone. Turn to Jesus. Let his word, his spirit meet you so that you have something to give to others. And that enables deeper degrees of community, because we need connection with God and connection with people. And at its best, it actually happens in that order. Connect with God and then reach out to others. Second thing this passage reminds us, and this is one of the lessons that Elijah needed to learn, is that, and maybe this will help you, but to be a success in life, have someone succeed you. Elijah was such the rugged individualist, he couldn't even think about his legacy. He wasn't even thinking about who he was called to invest in. And so God directed him to Elisha, and as it turns out, he wasn't actually that great a coach. I mean, he was like, okay, you can follow along after me. But maybe that's as best he could do, and it was enough. And God used it. Who is God calling you to invest in? Who in the next generation is God calling you to invest in? Because they need it too. For your life to be a success, find a successor. Find a successor. Because we're called to connect with God. And we're called to connect with people. It's weird. This like I said, this is a hard year, and this pandemic, it puts us with some tensions that are a little more complicated than we face perhaps in other forms of crisis. Because we know one of the ways that we actually can care for each other is through masking and social distancing. And it just might seem really weird to you, like, hey, Pastor, you're talking about, you know, break the isolation. Like, I want to break the isolation. I want to throw this. And that's why it's so tough. And you've probably seen this of people saying, "Okay, I'm going to either." Well, of people going so far into into the health that they fail to actually connect. And sometimes people so desperate for connection, they actually fail to care for one another's health. That's why it's so tough, and that's honestly why even the way we're trying to pursue it as a church is sometimes so tough, is because you think, okay, are you going to rub your tummy or pat your head? Just pick one or the other. And at least in this particular moment, I believe as the people of God on this issue, we're actually called to do both. It's just harder. And we can guard one another's health, and at the same time, we can do everything in our power to break the isolation. Because solitude is a place where God can meet you and fill you up, but isolation is deadly. And so God is calling us, I believe. He is calling us to be people who are called to connect with God and called to connect with people. He is calling us, I believe, to be isolation busters. We've been using that phrase throughout this time. And you've been doing it by writing cards and so that people in assisted living could know that somebody on the outside honestly cares. You've been doing it for the ICU and the PCU staff. Thank you for that. You're an isolation buster because we must break the isolation. I'd like you to imagine something with me. Imagine yourself and you're sitting in a chair. And maybe it's the chair you're sitting in right now. If you're here, if you're joining us online, imagine it's the chair that you're sitting in right now. And the room is kind of dark. And you've got these dark sunglasses on. And imagine yourself in that moment. And maybe this is the moment that you are feeling right now. Or maybe this is the time in your past that you can just relate to. A time where you felt just like Elijah. You felt that alone. You felt that isolated. And you're sitting there in your chair in the dark. And your head is down. And your dark sunglasses are on. And all that's going through your mind is, God, where are you? Why am I so alone right now? Why is there nobody with me? Why does nobody care what I'm going through? Are you in that place? Can you remember that place? Can you imagine that place? And there, sitting in the dark in your chair, you even wonder whether there's any value in your life. And whether your life even matters. Would anybody even care if I wasn't here? Would it make any difference at all? And you're there and you're thinking that and you're feeling that. And then there is, you're sitting in that chair and your head is down, the room is dark. You hear a whisper. You hear some whisper from the dark, say your name. Imagine it. And you feel a tap on your shoulder. And you look to the side where the tap was, and you don't see anything. There's nothing there. And you feel another tap on the other shoulder, and you look to that side, and you look, and you can't, there's nothing there. You can't see anything. And then the light level starts to rise, and you can start to see just a little bit more. And you take the sunglasses off, and your eyes start to adjust. And you realize that the dark room that you were sitting in is, you're actually center court. Center rink in the middle of Town Toyota Center. And you look around, and in every seat in the building,
is somebody.
You just couldn't see him before. And as you're sitting there in the middle of that, middle of the arena, you can start to see some faces for the first time, some 7,000, when you thought there were none. And you start to hear some clapping around you. Congregation, would you help me out? You start to hear some clapping around you. And you start to hear some cheering around you. And you realize what you wish you had known all along. That you are never alone. You are never alone. Do you hear me? Do you hear me online? Do you hear me in your living room? Do you hear me in your bedroom where nobody else can? It's just you and an iPad. Do you hear me? You are not alone. And God is right there in that place of solitude, wanting to meet you, wanting to feel you, and wanting to connect to you. And for some of you, you're feeling isolated, and it's been a long time since you've been to church. And maybe next week, it's time to come back. We can do it safe. We can do it right. We can care for one another. But maybe it's time to come back, because we are called to be people who break the isolation. And so for you, there is somebody that God is calling you to invest in. If you have met with Jesus, if your heart is not empty today, you have a ministry. There is something that you can do. You can write a card. You can stand outside an assisted living place through the window. You can do something. You can text somebody right now, and I wouldn't even be offended for you pulling out your phone in church. You could do something to break somebody's isolation. Congregation, let's pray together. Lord, thank you that even in our dark places in life, and God, you know that there are sometimes we find ourselves in places that just feel so alone. They feel so empty. They feel so helpless and hopeless that you do not condemn us when we feel just like your man Elijah. Thank you that you meet us tenderly. And thank you that it's not just about food for our bodies, but you have already met through Jesus, you have met the deepest need of our soul. That if we ever wonder if we are loved, all we need to do is look to the cross. And we can see the fullness of the picture of who you are. Of a God who loves us so much that you would send your one and only Son so that we would not be separated from you by our sin. So Lord, help us to be people who seek you, who meet you. Thank you that as we seek you, that you delight in being found. And Lord, as we find our strength and our peace and our hope in you, help us to be people who reach out. Lord, show us how we can help to break somebody's isolation. Thank you that you don't condemn us when we believe the lies, but you gently correct us and you remind us that we are not alone. And Lord, I just pray, I'm just thinking of that person who's joining us online right now and they feel desperately alone. God, would you just reach through that screen. By your Holy Spirit and get a hold of their heart. Give somebody hope today. And for those who are here in the room and they probably got a few things figured out because they're already breaking some of their own isolation by rejoining with Christian community in safe ways. But Lord, I don't want to be deceived to believe that everyone here in the building is feeling hunky-dory. God, in those places of hurt, in those places of loneliness, you just please meet them. Meet them like only you can. Thank you for your love and grace. Thank you that we can, in any moment, we can turn our hearts right back to you. Thank you that your Holy Spirit reaches people. Thank you for reaching us, Jesus. I pray all these things in his name. Amen. Invite you to take out your communion packets in the building. And if you're at home, you're joining us from home, invite you to find some form of bread and juice. And it's okay, even if you've been watching the service, you're like, oh, it's kind of towards the end, whatever. It's okay. Take a break. Take a quick break. Go find it. Go find the cracker and a cookie and some Coke. I mean, something. Find something. Because you know what? Before there was Zoom and FaceTime and the internet, Jesus introduced an incredible technology for keeping people connected. It's so simple, we easily take it for granted. But there is a, not so much a technology, but a sacrament that has kept Christians connected through pandemic, war, famine, persecution, hardship, discouragement. I've had the privilege at times of being in a hospital room, and this is the last thing somebody tastes before they cross over to the other side. When Jesus was anticipating his death, and he was having his final meal with his disciples, he took bread from that meal and he gave thanks for it. And he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this remembering me. This is my body. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, the Apostle Paul reminds us, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. In these elements, we are connected to one another. In these elements, we are reconnected with Jesus. In these elements, we remember who we are. In these elements, God meets us by his Spirit. There's nothing magical about the elements, but there is something incredibly powerful about the Holy Spirit. And he meets us in the promises of Jesus. This is my body. This is my blood given for you. Lord, as we join together in these elements, refresh your people. Connect your people. For those joining us at home right now, refresh your people. Connect your people. Thank you for this bread and all it represents. Thank you for this cup, this little taste of juice and all that it represents of your endless love for us. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for making us a community of faith together. Thank you for even in this moment reminding us that we are not alone. And so, church, I invite you, as you partake, look somebody in the eye. Yeah, at home, look somebody in the eye. Even look at the screen in the eye. But look, if you're in the building, look somebody in the eye. They might be across the aisle, but look somebody in the eye and remind them, this is Christ's body given for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you. Serve one another in Jesus' name. Let's do that. Jesus.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence,
I invite you to stand.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be
So I invite us as a family of faith to pray a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples together. If you're at home, say these words out loud. Say these words out loud. If you're in the building, yeah, let's say them together out loud as a family of faith. It's a prayer often called the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father, if you come from, depending on the church tradition you come from. But let's say these words out loud together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yeah. So thank you for taking some time to meet online, in person. Thank you. As we go from this place, get some of your isolation buster reminders. You could take a card in the foyer, fill it out, bring it back. We delivered more than 100 cards to the ICU and the PCU this last week. Makes a massive difference. People like Jerry and Sandy, let's put up the video, the little thing here. They took a banner and they stood outside the hospital this past week to encourage medical workers as they're going in and coming out from work. It makes a huge difference. I wish you could talk to some of the people on the ICU like I've had the privilege of being able to do. But guys, it makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for loving like Jesus. Thank you for making a difference. I would encourage you to do one last thing before you leave, especially if you're in the building or if you're online, before you just kind of, you know, log off, is take a moment. We're going to put some questions up on the screen. Talk to somebody close by about at least one of these questions, just so that the things that God has maybe been stirring in you through, you know, this passage and your time together with our time together with the Lord, that God can cement that work in your life, okay? We take just a minute. So don't just rush out. It's okay. If you absolutely have to, please don't just rush out. Take a moment. Take a moment to talk to someone about some of the heart stuff, that God is doing in your life, okay? So Lord, as we go from this place, send us as people who are breaking the isolation. Lord, help us to be people who seek you daily so that you can fill us. And then Lord, help us to be people who pour ourselves into others, pour ourselves into community, who encourage one another, who build one another up, who love like Jesus, starting with one another. Lord, help us to be people who invest in the next generation. Lord, open our eyes to the people around us, to the community that you have given us, that you have as a gift and as you are calling us to also invest in. So send us, Lord. And thank you for meeting us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.